Good evening and welcome to a Burkamp Wonderland radio show. I know it's a new voice coming in at the main chair. Tonight, the lunatics have let me run the asylum. So I'll be your host this evening. And with me, I am joined by Jason Davis, the Welsh Wonder himself. How are you, Jace?
I'm good, thanks, pal. How are you?
I'm grand. Thank you very much for putting me in this seat. It's all strange up here. It's a different view.
You're the captain of the ship, son.
Oh, isn't that worrying for everyone else involved?
You are the Arsene Wenger, the new Arsene Wenger.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, hopefully I'll be better than Owen Coyle would ever have been. And on that note, someone who is just about could deal with Houston Dynamo, Danny, is also joining me. Danny, how are you?
I am very good. And two things I must point out before we start. You are by far the greatest ginger host this podcast or radio show has ever seen. Already, I can tell. And also, Jason isn't here, people. Unlike BT Sport, he isn't here just because he's Welsh.
What? What have I done now?
Oh, fucking shit, isn't he?
What the fuck have I done now?
No, you're not here just because you're Welsh. Unlike BT Sport, who have John Artson there just because he's Welsh.
I thought it was just because he was ginger, but...
It could be one of those two.
Tick two boxes at once. Well, we've got both covered this evening as well. And should we get into it? So yes. We'll start with the lineups. We had Ospina in goal. I think that was everyone assumed that. The return of the heralded back four occurred. And we ended up with three in midfield and three in the forward positions. Jace, were there anything in there that kind of excited you or didn't excite you?
No, to be fair, you know, the team selection, as in the personnel, I thought, you know, strong again after the Cologne game, losing that. They needed another run out. But 4-3-3 surprised me. That really surprised me. And I was really pleased to see Holding and Chambers as the centre-half partners. But as it turned out, they had a bit of an easy ride. Or I thought, you know, they're playing a pub team, aren't they? So... it couldn't really go wrong, but fair play. They did well, you know. But no, you know, it was nice to see a strong lineup. There's not much to say in it, to be honest, pal. I was excited to see the centre halves. Good to see the big shoe getting more minutes. Maitland Niles again, you know, getting those minutes in his belt. As for the rest of them, the strongest lineup we could put out.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as well as the result, I should say, we did win 6-0. I think it's almost, I wouldn't say flattering, the scoreline. I think we could have got more. Danny, were you surprised that we didn't see the likes of people like Reece Nelson and Willock, who have basically played every game for us, or started every Europa League game we've had this season, and we went strong? Or is this trying to get players ready for that Christmas period where we know we're going to need... you know, ready first team players to be fit and ready to deal with the mass of fixtures we've got coming up?
I think it's mainly the latter. I mean, looking at that team, Coughlin and Elneny are now fringe players because Xhaka's going to start every game. Holding and Chambers, well, they need games because, like you said, coming up to the Christmas run of playing three games a day, they're going to be needed because when Koz's leg falls off, and when Mertesacker won't be able to do it anymore, and Mustafi is probably at the ump, or he's off highlighting his beard. Wilshere, well, I think he is just, this is competition. If not for just one thing, it has been brilliant for him because of the way that he has performed. I mean, tonight, according to Who Scored, he got a 9.7 Opta rating. I meant to open this show by singing it's the Jackie Wilshere show. The Jackie Wilshere show, but I forgot, so I won't. And yeah, I think when I saw Walcott playing, I thought, oh, that's a bit strange because, like you were saying, that I thought maybe who's the one who didn't play? I always get these two mixed up because there's three hairstyles all the same on the picture. Maitland Niles usually plays left. Who usually plays on the right? Is it Willock?
It's normally Reece Nelson that's picking up that position, and Joe Willock was playing normally inside. Yeah.
And those two came on. No, it is Rennie Adler, who hasn't played any games for us this season, I don't think. And he was meant to be the next big thing coming through the youth. So I think Walcott was playing because, like the commentator said, that maybe he's putting himself in the shop window. Well, if he did, he was all right. One goal, one assist. But I think he could have done a lot better. But after talk just about the lineup. I think Giroud can look at this game and not be very happy with his performance, the same as Welbeck. I mean, I didn't even know Welbeck was playing until he came off.
Dan, sorry, Brampton. Jesse Hitman and Cool Brother, if you're going to fucking spam that chat box, you'll both be fucking out. Do you understand me? Fucking behave. Sorry, carry on.
I'm done. Yeah, I was just agreeing that, yeah, it is. It's a very good game. Everyone's got a good run out, but it might have been one of the last times we see Walcott play for the club. And was that a milestone goal for him? Because the way he picked it, or was it for Giroud? Because he stuck it under his shirt, or one of them it was.
It was Giroud for his penalty, but that's spoiler alert.
Oh,
we won't get to that goal first. We shall start with the man that you have in the shop window, Theo Walcott, getting the ball, holding it down from
Chambers.
Callum Chambers, that was it. He plays that long ball in. Interesting to see Theo Walcott as a target man and actually hold the ball up. Not something we've said before, but Debushi manages to lash it home. Jace, he's a player that I think has divided opinions for comments he's made after having a torrid time with injuries and obviously getting frustrated with his lack of playing time with the emergence of Bellerin. Is he still important for us? And obviously getting that goal is good for him. So what do you reckon to Debushi?
You know, you got a feel for the guy, you know. Started off great guns for us. Then all of a sudden, you know, he picks up an injury, comes back, and now Divic with the cheapest, most cowardly push on him, you know, to get him injured again. Struggles to come back. Emergence of Hector puts him down the pecking order. Nina 9-7. Oh, yeah. And obviously, he has ambitions for the French team. And, you know, he's made some silly comments in the press. You know, there's no doubt, you know, some of those could have been misinterpreted. Because of his injury problems, I understand why some people dislike him. And, you know, he's taken a bit of flack. Some of it maybe deserved, some of it not deserved. But there's only Hector there at the moment, so he's kind of important to us, you know? He is important to us, because if Hector does pick up an injury, who are we left with? It's going to be Debushi. Fantastic the way he took the goal. He just put his laces through that, didn't he? You know, only the net is going to stop it. The keeper had no chance. So I was really chuffed at Debushi tonight. You know, you can only play what's in front of you. And whether dog and duck turn up or whatever, it doesn't really matter. But, you know, Theo worked hard there. You know, he won the opportunity. Could have had a penalty, I suppose. But when the ball came to Debushi, he just made no mistake. Bang. That was it. Done. You know, and it's good to see some goals coming from a sort of right back at the moment, you know, because Hector's popped up now and again with them, and it would be nice to get some more. But I was really impressed with Matt Debushi tonight. He did all he could.
Yeah, definitely. I think with both the fullbacks in the game, I don't know if you'd agree, Danny, that the defending or defensive part of their game wasn't something that you'd really take into account with the quality that was coming at them offensively, and it was all about how they were going forward.
What, for us or for them? For us.
For us. Yeah, Maitland Niles and Debushi.
Yeah, they're the most important ones. I think Holding and Chambers could have taken a newspaper with them. I mean, at one point, I was trying to figure out which one of those, the batty players, I mean, they all look like they fiddle with donkeys in the darkness of the night, but which one of those had the bet on Arsenal winning 5-6, 5-1, 6-1 or 7-1, because I think maybe they all had a sneaky tenner on it, because they did not give a damn about defending, but they did like to have an attack. But then I swear at one point when they had about three shots that landed in row Z, and each time they had a shot and it went a mile wide, they all looked at Coughlin and went, So I think they were taking the piss out of Coughlin a little bit. Because, and Elneny did one, his usual one as well. Elneny has to have one per game where he has a shot off and it goes a million miles wide, but they were all taking the piss out of him. But and the commentator on BT Sport was saying, well, I don't know what they're doing, because they obviously don't care about defending. It looks like they want to score. I think one of them who came on as a sub was an Arsenal fan, because Alexander Pleb. Yeah, he played for them on four separate occasions. And so quite a few of those people from that country and that team, they support Arsenal, which is nice.
Yeah, definitely. And they had to get a win as well for them to have any chance of progressing. So attack was their only form, which obviously played into our hands. I think there were a kind of a window of about 15, 20 minutes or so where not a huge amount happened. I think it was a foul on Debuchy. We ended up with Welbeck showing off his first touch, trying to play himself off against Lukaku, I think, with first touches like that. But it was one of those touches that led to the second goal, with Theo Walcott getting it. Welbeck with the first touch that, again, was awful, but the covering defender manages to push it into Theo Walcott's path. And I think at that time, it was a good time to get a second goal as well, because I think they were trying to, Bate were trying to get back into the team. Danny, do you want to run us through Theo Walcott and how you felt about his overall performance and the goal, of course?
I do moan about Theo, but I will miss Theo Walcott if he leaves the club. I won't miss his performances, which are maybe one good in every five or six games. But it was very smiley tonight, and he's got his lovely new straightened hair and his big manly beard, and he's probably been on high on the coffee. But he's a lovely bloke, and on his day he's a magnificent player. But those days are so few and far between. It's nice for him to have scored that goal, but quite frankly, I reckon you could have plunked me out of the bath, dropped me in the middle of that penalty box, and it could have gone in off of one of my bellies. So it wasn't exactly the hardest thing to score. So it's nice for him that he scored a goal, and he got an assist later on for the Wilshere goal. But it was, yeah, it's just really, really easy. I think we'd have been a little bit annoyed if he'd have missed it. But I'm not going to be one of those people who go, oh, they were a shit team. Of course we had to win. It was an enjoyment. Like Carl put it was going to be 3-1 to us. We're going to miss a load of chances and it's going to be a shit game. So I said to Carl in WhatsApp, you're wrong. So far, it's been a great game. Yeah, so I enjoyed the game and I enjoyed everyone's performances apart from two players, which I think let themselves down. But Theo wasn't one of them. And he didn't even seem to mind when he came off, and he gave the captain's armband to Wilshere, which I thought was a nice touch as well. I don't know who makes those decisions. But yeah, I thought Theo was all right.
Yeah, as I say, we only had 23 shots this game compared to the weekend, but obviously it depends on whether or not you've got some kind of demigod between the sticks, and I think they had anything but that
Yeah, true.
in this game.
He did make a couple of good saves, though, the keeper. There was one from his own player. There was one from Theo. He made a couple of good saves, but to be fair, Theo and Debuchy took their goals really well, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll go on to another goal that I think was taken really well. Just before that, we had Jack Wilshere getting baited by the crowd to have a shot, and I think he duly obliged and made the keeper kind of tip it over. But 2 minutes later, Jason comes to you with the Jack Wilshere goal, purely because Coquelin assist that happened. What a ball that was. He passed it all of 5 yards to the man in his feet, and Jack Wilshere did everything else.
In all fairness, I think Jack should get the assist as well, right? Because he had to maneuver a bit, and I will not acknowledge a Coughlin assist. I won't. I'm just not.
He was put in the group. They wanted for the ABW said, "What if Coughlin played for Wales? Would you hate him then?"
And my reply was,
"I don't know."
Yes.
After the minute I left, I was trying to
hates
deal
Joe
with
Ledley, so yeah, we can hate.
I love Joe. No. It wasn't what I hated. I don't hate Coughlin. I just think he's shit. Okay. And I think the same of Joe Ledley, to be fair. Okay. But they run around and they try hard. So fair play to them. No, to be fair to Jack, he took that really well, didn't he? Since he's come back into the team, he's been screaming out for a goal. And it was, I thought he had a decent first half performance. He'd run the dog and duck him pub 11 ragged, and he deserved the goal. He deserved the goal. But he took it really well. And to be fair, he'd have beaten better teams with that shot as well. He'd have beaten better keepers, better defences with that. It was really strange. It was just one of those games where, I thought the Bate defence looked at sixes and sevens, and the only reason we weren't more up was because they were so at sea, they kind of stopped chances by accident. But to be fair to Jack, he showed real quality there, and he did the business, and he got it done.
Yeah, I think there was certainly a case of us overplaying in certain scenarios. But I'll ask this question now because it's when I wrote it in my notes. Alexis Sanchez got a lot of stick in the last game for his performance against Man United and across most of the season. Would you look and bring Jack Wilshere in? He's a player that we've fans have been trying to get in and shoehorn into this team. Is that his most likely way to get in to replace Alexis? And would you start him over him in Southampton? I'll go to Danny for that.
Did I just see a ghost go past in the background there? I think I did. I think you're haunted in your cellar. Yes, no, Jack does need to play. I think he's now back. He's patiently. You're not seeing a single thing in the media of him. You imagine any other player who has had the career of England that he's had, been a regular starter for Arsenal as he had, been a fan's favourite as he has, any other club, they'd have been bitching and whining by the beginning of September that they weren't in the first team. So the man must get a standing ovation for that, being an absolute pro with it, and even having a little laugh at his injuries in the paper where he went ice skating. But as for swapping for Sanchez, I don't want to see him in the dual trademarked dual 10 role, because that's not his position. If he does play, I'd like to see him in a midfield three with a Coquelin doing the defending, with him or Xhaka doing the passing around and the interceptions, and then Ramsey being the one that goes a little bit more forward. If anything, I'd love to see Ramsey play in the dual 10. I don't want to see Wilshere there. He did play there tonight in a kind of, I mean, at times I had no idea what formation we were playing. According to the radio, it's 4-3-3. According to who scored it, it's 4-2-3-1. At times it looked like we were playing three at the back with Debuchy falling into right back. So I think, like Jace was saying, because of their formation, they were all over the place. So it's almost like when you play FIFA, and as soon as you score a goal and you go from kickoff, it's the game, you can play the game really easily. But once the ball's been going around for 10 minutes, it's really hard to get into a pattern to try and set up a goal. And that's how they were most of the night. I actually remember at the 54th minute thinking, well, they're not even running to get the ball anymore. But Wilshere playing for the first team, definitely, but not playing in that role. I'd push Ramsey up. And but Ramsey, it's nice to see Ramsey there as well. Did you see that on the telly? He was at the stadium.
Yeah, he was there. I saw Lacazette was also in the stadium as well.
Oh, I love him too.
That was on Instagram, because I think quite a few of the players were there.
Oh, good.
But it was good to see them. Well, some people actually turn up at the stadium. I think we still managed a good 36,000, which I think is what you can get on the Etihad for the Manchester Derby.
At one
So.
point, I thought there'd be more people watching tonight than there was at the game.
It was certainly getting like that. Right. So half time happened. I think we've got a question on the second half from trying to work out what the gap is in the surname. Matt Sanasai. Yeah, should we have brought on the youth players at the beginning of this half, bearing in mind we came in at 3-0? Do you think that was do you think we made those subs at the right time, or do you think we should have made them as soon as we came in 3-0 up, rest some players, Jace, or
I
continued?
don't know. I don't know, to be honest. I mean, we got a busy Christmas period coming up. We're going to need options for the first team. The youngsters, they're not going to be those options. It is going to be your Welbecks, your Walcotts, your Ollie Giroux, your Jack Wilshers. Okay, those are the people who are going to vie for first team places when the fixtures build up. It's not going to be an Eddie Nketiah. It's not going to be Ainsley Maitland-Niles, and it's not going to be Willock or Nelson. So, these guys need minutes in their legs. Because half of me did think, why don't we sub people off at the moment? But they haven't had enough game time to take off, really. That's the truth of the matter. And although you could hardly call this the most competitive game of football, but it's better than nothing. So you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, to be honest with you, mate. But I think, Ollie, Jack, Welbeck, they were left on for a reason. Walcott's just come back from illness. Whatever people think about Walcott, he's popped up with some very important goals this over the years, and he's somebody who likes a big game. He's somebody who can get you a goal. Recently, he hasn't been playing well, but he's had some minutes under his belt, and that's all we can ask for from tonight. That, you know, we as a club and the manager were in a no-win situation, so we've given the guys minutes onwards and upwards into the Christmas period.
Yeah, absolutely. We've also got Carabao Cup game coming up, which I believe is against West Ham.
Yeah, yeah,
that's right. So yeah,
well, West Ham twice in a week, is it?
That's how bad they are. They're giving us points for it. Yeah, it is. I think it is. We're playing them because I'm hosting that one for the Premier League, aren't I, Jace?
Yeah, you're doing the Premier League game.
13th of December on a Wednesday. We're at their place, and then we're playing them again at our place 6 days later in the League Cup.
Yeah,
are you sure you'll be up for that one, Danny?
7:45. I was up at 3 today. I've only had about 6.5 hours sleep.
Ooh, we'll have to start bringing you in for Saturday games.
And Sean's mum came round. Actually, people, if you're listening, you will be listening on the podcast. Sean's mum came round today and she posted all the books, the Tony Adams signed autobiographies. And the bloke who we posted it to Holland, it cost £7. He said he'd cover that. Maybe he said he'd cover any more than the £4 of the other ones cost. So we're broke again. Fuck's sake.
Look, Dan. Yeah. Shut up.
I'll forget to tell him next week when we do a pod. The next pod's about 5 years away, I think.
I mentioned iTunes ratings. Something else, please.
Oh, iTunes. Yeah, we had a magnificent. We've had 5 iTunes ratings. More than we had last week. Excellent. Since we've had about 6,000 people listen per show. People, go and give us a review on iTunes, a nice one, a nice 5-star one. If you do, we can send you Gimli round and you can abuse him like a voodoo doll. Seriously.
Should we move on to the second half on that note?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I think 50 minutes in, 5 minutes after kickoff, own goal from Batté. They decided they weren't going to score, or maybe they just forgotten to turn themselves around and go the other way for this half. Theo Walcott, another drive down the wing from him, smashing it across into that corridor of uncertainty. And I think Welbeck was probably the most annoyed about this, because the defender took a perfectly good tap in from him and powered it past the defender. One of the best own goals you've ever seen, Jason, for Arsenal?
It was a banger, wasn't it? It was an absolute banger. The guy finished. He was like Ian Wright back in the day. It was absolutely superb. But to be fair, it was a great cross from Theo. And Welbeck applied the pressure. The poor bugger didn't know what to do. I think he was trying to get it over the bar, but the net nearly exploded. You're just looking at him thinking, you poor git. Oh, mate. But I think he was one of the 18 Arsenal fans in the Batté squad. So, he might be well chuffed with that. He might take the match ball home.
So I think John Hartson was trying to work out who would get into the Arsenal squad. But we're finishing like that. We could have done with him last weekend. But we shall move on to the penalty for a foul on Theo. I don't think there's any questions about whether or not this is a penalty. It's just a clumsy coming together that is fundamentally a penalty. Danny, we saw Olivier Giroud step up twice for this penalty for encroaching. What was that all about? Because I'm sure it was all the Batté players that were encroaching. But
I think that the referee's kids are watching Daddy on telly. I think that's what it was. He knew they were watching. And so he's giving it jazz hands. Oh, no, do it again. I was just watched the replay there. It was a penalty because it looked like the bloke he's badly timed. As he turned round, people listening on iTunes, I'm kind of moving like a 70s hipster. He turned round to try and boot the ball out. That looks like what his movement was going to be. But as he turned his shoulder, he caught... who did he bring down? Was it Welbeck?
Theo.
I know it was one of our forwards. And the penalty, I think that looking at it again, I think the Batty players were further forward than any of our players were. Admittedly, half of the team were inside the penalty area. But like the commentators have said, if you're going to do that for that, then you have to do it for the goalkeeper moving off the line, because he was down by the halfway line by the time we kicked the ball, virtually. So it's a little bit silly when the game's that far gone and you've given a penalty which could have maybe be, if it wouldn't have given that penalty, people wouldn't have complained. So if you're going to give it, don't make people take it twice. I had my mate here who was a Man United, Arsenal Man United at the weekend. He's a Man United fan. And he looked at me and went, shame we didn't do that at the weekend. I told him to go home.
What, give a legitimate penalty? Oh, well.
Yeah. That should have been my fucking comeback. You want to need it, you, Josh.
But, sorry, Danny. You're going to have to Skype me whenever you need a comeback.
He was bringing me food, though, so I wasn't going to argue. I'm surprised I didn't eat him. I was so hungry.
Hey, Josh, as you're popping your hosting cherry, we've got Jeffrey Barker, too, who's popping his post-game ABW cherry.
How about together? That? Well, Jeffrey, I'll go in soft and hopefully it won't be too hard for you and you'll be back for more.
I think, is that Jeffrey Barker who was for a while known as Jeff the Third? Because we had Jeff, then other Jeff, and then there was someone else who spelt their name with a J and we used to refer to him as Jeff the Third and then he disappeared.
Well, he says he's Jeff the Second. Yeah, going by his name anyway.
Who was other Jeff the Second? There was another Jeff the Second.
No, there wasn't another Jeff the Second. It was just Jeff the Third with a J, not a G.
No, I thought somebody called himself OG2.
I don't know. Oh, we've had so many bloody... I've actually kept a bookmark of all the fake ABW parody accounts. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 16 that I know of. And that's not including all the various Jeffs from around the world, like Nigerian Jeff and... Bulgarian Jeff and all the rest of them. So I've got 16 that I know of. Double D Pirate, that's one of my favourites. The Pirate Governor, Mr. STD, Captain Claude, Poverty Pirate, Piers Moron, Jeff Pirate, the Arsenal Pirate, Pirate Fan TV. That's a winner, people.
They'll all be out soon because the Pirates are not doing well. I think there's a lot of malcontent down on the South Coast.
I forgot off the list the fake Josh Daw, because yours used to be the real Josh Daw until a certain gentleman from the South Coast. Not Chris, he's a bit further along.
I'm pretty sure that was Stefan Selby.
No. Oh, I don't think it was.
All I'm going to say is his name rhymes with Mookie.
Hey, talking to Stefan Selby, Stefan Selby's not very well.
Isn't he?
Is he not?
No, he's got a cold.
Oh, Stefan, man the fuck up.
Good God. He's well enough to play Xbox every fucking night until 4 a.m. So I was told. Go on, Josh. Shut up. We'll shut up.
That's all right. No, it's fine. Stefan stopped listening to the hipsters, so I'm not talking to him at the moment. So... got the penalty, and then Bate started coming even more forward. Ospina woken up, I think. He was having a nice little snooze, I think, on his post and had to make a save there. Then got Captain Jack appearing, another one. Was that his first time that he's had the captain's armband? Danny, this is one of the kind of autistic facts you'd know.
It is a while since he hasn't started the game with it, because then it would have the little C next to his name. But I don't think the C changes next to someone's name if they get it partway through a game. So the last time, I mean, I can have a look and see the last time that he had it, but it'd be a bloody, I don't even think the internet was working back then. It was so long ago. It's lovely to see.
That made me smile. I'm sure you can find it on teletext. so
10 or whatever it was.
73rd minute, Mohamed El Neni. I think I saw a couple of tweets, perhaps harsh. It says, you know, the team's rubbish when Mo Nani's getting a goal. But pass from Jack Wilshere, who's in to El Neni, who's in acres of space to curl it into the far corner. Do you think that wrapped up a pretty decent performance for El Neni, Jace? Or, as you say, he's only got us in front of him.
I had a message from Dom. Bear me a second. Let me go and get it. Because this is quite funny. It did make me giggle, this one did.
People giggle.
Well, Jace is looking for this. If anyone's got some questions, throw them in the chat box and we'll get them up in a second.
Sorry, pal. Winning 6-0 and somehow El Neni and Coughlin have still looked shite.
I wonder why that made you happy, Steve. Someone said that mighty cock.
So, look, to be fair, I didn't think the midfield had a massive amount to do, same as the back four. I thought, you know, I thought Debussy and Maitland-Niles worked hard. I thought, you know, Coughlin and Nenny were okay, to be fair. They can only play what's in front of them, and they did okay. You know, I thought Elneny's finish was absolutely sublime. It was an absolute banger. It was nearly as good as that shot from Walcott, which nearly took that guy's head off. Do you see that when the guy got whiplash? Oh. It was bonkers. But I thought, well, Elneny placed that really well. But, you know, look, they were playing the dog and duck. Barty are a better team than they showed tonight. You know, and they were poor, but the guys did the business. I got to be honest, I thought we should have scored more goals. You know, I thought we were pretty wasteful at times. But I suppose, you know, with the crowd and, you know, to whoever was there tonight, fair play to them. They tried to make a noise. Fair play. You know, you got to give the crowd that was there credit. It's a dead rubber. You can't blame anybody for not going. And the team did what they had to do on the pitch, you know. If they're damned if they do, and they're damned if they don't. But you know, there's such a drop off in quality from sort of Ramsey, Xhaka, Jack to Coughlin and Elneny. You know, and to be fair, Elneny's the better of the two, but you know, very difficult, very difficult.
Yeah. I wouldn't disagree with that statement that Elneny is better than Coquelin, however much I love him. But
You love the cock, don't you?
You know, when in Rome, or Brighton.
When in Rome, go with Francis.
Yeah, exactly. I would say that was Elneny's only second goal for Arsenal after, I think it was almost on his debut when he scored. It wasn't his debut, was it? But he did score against Barcelona. Screamer from about 30 yards or so. But that was a couple of players that we saw get goals after a long time. Danny, didn't you have a stat on how long it's been since those players have scored?
I just looked up the only other time that Debuchy scored was against Liverpool. We were 1-0 down, Coutinho 45, and then he scored second minute of injury time in the first half. We drew 2-2 at Liverpool, and then Wilshere's goal was 2.5 years ago.
Oof.
I know. I'm trying to think what it was. I know the one at the end of the season against Norwich. So maybe...
It was WBA.
I was going to say, was it the one that got in his second goal of the year award?
The day goal of the year. Because I'll rig it.
Yeah. No, he got that legitimately, honestly.
Yeah, we won. Arsenal won the Rugby World Cup Man of the Match as well, every game.
Yeah, we were rigging polls before the Russians were. Anyway... 75th minute, we ended up with a lot of subs coming on. We saw Willian and Nketiah come in. Danny, I know you love Nketiah, so I assume you were watching him with beady eyes.
I certainly see how was. He got in. Yeah, he got an opta rating of 6.1, but at times it looked like either he was really, really far away and the other player was really, really close. Oh, he's only teeny, teeny, weeny person. Bless him. I mean, he got double tackled at one point and he got away from the boat and then he tackled him for the second time. And I thought, oh, he's going to get a wallop in here. He had a couple of times where he got into the box and tried to run off with the ball. But yeah, it seems he may be a little bit too small for these big Eastern European blokes. That brought up on snow and bits of rock because they're all rock hard. So, yeah, it's a shame. I'd love to have seen him score, but it wasn't to be. He didn't really do much, did he? Not that he had much chance. But I think maybe, like you said, if he'd have come on at half time when the game was over, it'd have been much better for Nelson, Willock, and Nketiah.
Yeah, I think it's that, as we've said, it's that kind of juggling between getting minutes in people's legs who need it and player development for the younger guys and what you think is more important. I think at this time of year, like we're all agreed that it is getting minutes in players' legs that could be playing across this Christmas period. But that wrapped up Wenger's 700th win for Arsenal. It's taken a while, but we should arguably have had it last weekend. But anywho, we've done it now. I think we'll move on to are there any other thoughts on the game as a whole, Jace, before we move on to questions?
There's a point in the first half where Welbeck, he wasn't far off the byline, and he was looking for movement inside the box. And the one thing that kind of struck me with this team tonight was there were no runners in the box. There was nobody showing. You know, everybody was stood there waiting for the ball to come to him. That really disappointed me. Natasha Nunes! Natasha Nunes is in the box. Hi, Natasha! Love Natasha Nunes.
Last time you got excited by a lady, it turns out to be a YouTube bot called Victoria.
Oh, no, we like Victoria, but Victoria's just a bot. Okay.
You still fucking banned her, though, didn't you?
No, I didn't. Tash has been with the podcast for years. We love Tash. Sorry, yeah. But Welbeck is trying to get across in, and there's no runners in there. And that was kind of endemic in the team. And, you know, it's important for us that, you know, movement off the ball cost us goals on Saturday. And, you know, it's cost us not scoring goals as well. So, you know, it's something we need to address. We need to get runners in the box. And that was the one thing that really disappointed me. You know, I know you can turn around and say, well, you know, Jack's this type of player, Ollie's this type of player. Surely, you know, you're taught to attack the goal. You're taught to attack the goal. They should be running in. So that was you know, I thought we were a bit wasteful at times, but that really frustrated me.
Danny, was there anything else you wanted to go through on the game? We did have Jack Wilshere getting a finger to the face.
Did he? Oh, well, I thought, you know, I was thinking that when he was sucking his thumb when he scored, but no, would someone try and jab him in the eye?
More of an elbow, I think. Somewhere between an elbow and a hand in the face.
That's also a good point about Jack. He took at one point he went down in the second half and he was left doing his shoe up. Another time he got taken down and then we got a free kick out of it. And I think there was another time he got a bit of a whack as well. He's getting quite a few whacks and I'm getting used to him getting whacked and getting straight back up again. And it's been a while since we've seen that. So I think the miracle worker that is the Chad Forsyth is... He's doing miracles everywhere. I mean, the only player we got injured is Santi Cazorla. And maybe, to see someone score an overhead kick. Bloody hell, you cheeky swine for Zenith. Zenit, not Zenith, they make windows. Yeah, so I'm just really, it's really good. That's what you want. This is what I wanted all the way through from the Europa League group games. I want goals. I want clean sheets. I want fun. I want first team players that aren't playing regularly to get games. I want youth players to come through and get games. So everything about this game was absolutely brilliant. It's just a shame that Welbeck didn't seem up for it. I think sometimes when you're playing games like this, though he goes, I'm an England international, or Giroud, actually, I don't think Giroud would do that, but you get the feeling that they go, I've played in the World Cup, I'm an international, I've scored goals for my country, why am I playing with bloody people that are barely 5 foot tall?
I disagree with that, Dan.
You would do, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but to be fair, Welbeck's not that type of guy. He always works hard.
I don't know. I did change it and say I don't think Giroud is.
I don't think him and Ollie had great games tonight, but you know, I don't think they get too big for their boots. That's the one thing about those guys. I don't think, you know.
It wasn't for lack of Jack Wilshere. How many times did Jack have the ball on the edge of the box, and rather than being doing a Coughlin or Elneny and shooting for goal, he did a pull back and then he passed it left. He was running with the ball sideways like a crab trying to find someone to give it to. That's just magnificent of Jack, not being selfish. Oh, he's such a great player.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
Shut it.
I mean, who's the better team, Bate or Doncaster? Because that's what we're going to base it on.
the dog and duck.
Yeah, of Doncaster. Right, let's move on to some questions. Start from this one from Jovi82. Should we consider giving Debuchy more time in our first string team to keep Hector under a little bit of pressure, and also just to, I would say, to add to it, rest Debuchy. Jace, what do you reckon?
If Hector needs a rest, yes. To be fair, Debuchy's has only been able to play against what's been there in the Europa League and the Carabao Cup. So I don't think he's really tested himself against the quality of opposition that Hector plays against week in, week out. We know he's done it in the past, but he's not done enough to win the place. So it may come down to squad rotation, maybe, but, you know, only then, you know, he's not done enough to take Hector's place, but it will be nice to have cover there and to have good cover there.
Yeah, definitely. It's something we've been crying out for a while, because it's been almost a weak position for us, especially when Hector's been out of form. Thanks for the question as well. We'll move on to another one. Danny, did you see Jack Wilshere's interview after the game?
I had it muted because, Jace, we were busy trying to figure out why you sounded like you'd been dropped off on the motorway. No, I didn't hear anything. I thought he was in the interview with Theo, but unfortunately I didn't see it. I bet it was wonderful. I bet Jack praised everybody.
Jace, did you see it? We've got a question from that black guy. Just wondering if he needed subtitles after that interview. I presume Danny would have liked them so he could actually heard what he said. But
No, so you'll have to let us know what he said. I'm just looking at DiBucci's stats. He's one game away from equaling the second most number of games he's ever played for us in a season of 7. 28 games in 4 seasons.
Oh, God, we got West Ham next, haven't we? That he'll most likely play against. So he'll come up against Arnautovic. Brilliant.
Isn't Arnautovic injured or something? I remember seeing... but he should play... I like that question about should... I keep saying Welbeck or Beckham, that's not it. I know it's got a B in it. Bellerin, there you go.
Yeah.
Should Bellerin, I think Bellerin should get a rest. I think, but he's got a run of games coming up. West Ham away in the Premier League. I think we could safely play DiBucci there. Maybe at home to Newcastle, and then at home to West Ham in the league. He will in the League Cup. He will do it. Then maybe over Christmas we've got on the 28th. We've got away at Palace, who are shit, and then we've got West Brom on the 31st. So there's plenty of games there where he could come in and give Bellerin a bit of a rest over Christmas, because I think DiBucci is still a really good player, and I think tonight has shown that. Yeah, another game he's played where he kept a clean sheet and he looked solid the entire time. And like we always say with the likes of with Santi and I say about Mertesacker, when they're that experienced, they don't have to rely on pace, do they?
No, that is true. And I think depends on the formation we're playing as well. Would you not agree that if we're playing with wing backs, that's not really going to help DiBucci?
Has to be an old-fashioned back four.
To be honest, you guys, I wouldn't question that yet, because with Burgess coming in, the one thing the AFL guys, and you speak to Dom and you look at the AFL's professionalism towards managing players, managing fitness, you know, understanding what they can and can't do fitness wise, with regards to, you know, rest, repeat, etc. effort. These guys know players inside out. If you look at us now, we look fitter than we've done for years.
Shad.
You know, no, it's not just Shad. It's Burgess coming in. You know, there's a whole host of things that
Shad's the injury. Burgess is the fitness, isn't he?
I'm not exactly 100% sure, to be honest.
Oh, Dom's there shouting at us now. He knows.
Yeah, Dom knows, but these guys will know what these players are capable of. So if they need a rest, they'll know it. If they, you know, if they need to play, they'll know it. They'll know what they can do, and they'll pick the lineups accordingly. You know, it'll be done with tactics and the ability of the players in mind. These guys, the sports science aspect of AFL that comes to the club with Burgess, etc., it will be top notch. It will be the best in the world.
Yeah, I think that's one of the good things that we've seen come in over the summer as well. It's the, well, not over the summer, after the last couple of weeks or so, or years, these extra backroom staff that are coming in that really look to be at the top of the game. And it's a good thing to see occurring. Let's grab another question as well. Jace, Natasha Nunes, I know you want to answer this one especially, so you can do it with a little bit of a nod and a wink. What's the future for Theo? Heard he was very good tonight, but is he ever going to get back in the first team? And then in brackets, before he goes, I think we'll move on to the future of Theo in a second.
To be honest, the only way he gets back in the first team at this moment in time is if we change shape. If we're playing a 4-3-3, he's got a shout, because coming in off the right-hand side, he can be effective. He does give you bags of pace. And, you know, I know he's been poor this season. I understand why people are frustrated with him. And you're talking about a guy beginning of last season, I didn't want anywhere near the club, but I think he's got a better attitude at this point in his career than he's had ever before. Whether that's going to turn into performance or not, I don't know, but I can only see him playing if we change formation, if we go back to a back four and play this 4-3-3. Other than that, I don't see it.
I don't think Wenger has a liking for playing fullbacks at centre-backs. He's working with Monreal, and I think maybe, I mean, tonight it looked all right, but they weren't a really good team. But that's a few times now he's played on the right-hand side of a back three, isn't it? I think he looked all right.
So yeah.
Sorry.
What do you want about Dan? Who are you want about?
I'm saying we're talking about Theo Walcott.
No, you're talking about Theo Walcott, but I'm still talking about Debuchy.
Oh.
Okay, Dan. McFly.
No, yeah, but I think it is. You want about fullbacks? I don't want to see Theo at fullback.
No, we're not talking about Theo at fullback. We're coming.
You just say that you don't want to see you'd like to see Theo get a chance at the right fullback position.
I can only see Theo playing on the right hand, attacking right hand side as a winger.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I heard. I didn't hear the rest of it.
I can't. We'll open your ears. Honest to God. Hi. Welcome to Bergkamp Wonderland. We'll be the slickest podcast out there.
I thought you were saying that you want to see Walcott play at right wing back. And I was saying, no, I'd like to see Debuchy play there.
Well, if we're playing Borisov every week, I think we could probably get away with Theo at wing back. I think we'll leave it there.
I didn't scream. Have you gone fucking nuts playing Walcott at wing back? Are you mental? That's what I should have said. I've got along a lot better than trying to come up with some tactical reason why not.
Yeah, listeners, at this point, if you'd like to give us a thumbs up and an iTunes review, we'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, don't want to bother.
Right. Let's grab this one. Danny, as you piped up, and probably on a subject that you'll know about, Mr. Boblex, he's hungry. What should he make for food?
Tonight I had Shazzy, my mate, who owns Chili Bite in Huntingdon. He delivered me. I had chicken tikka kebab with chili sauce, jalapenos, and I had cheesy chips, and I shared it with Betty. Didn't I, Betty? Excuse me, resting bitch face again. But that's only because I've had a bath and I'm knackered. Otherwise, tonight I would have had fresh chicken boobs, corn on the cob, mushrooms, chips, all done in the oven. Mm-mm. And maybe a bit of bacon if I can. There you go. Have all of that and just eat whatever you want. In fact, come round and I'll make it for you.
But not tonight because you're too tired.
I'm fucked. I'm just going to go and mong out. Actually, we've had a complaint. We've had another complaint. Who was it? Someone said that they... Fly Macca. 67 said, Danny, can you make sure the pods are available for download, please, Gov? That's a very subtle way of saying, don't leave it 2 fucking days before you put this on iTunes, you fat nonce. I know what you're saying. I feel you.
Oh. Okay. Wow. No wonder we're getting demonetized. Anyway.
I wonder why. Fishing, people. It was fishing, not fucking. Shots at goal. God, that could have gone anywhere, couldn't it?
I think you need to get that tooth put back in.
Yeah.
That's what the problem is.
I'm going on the 20th of December for a fitting for my tooth. So you wait. Oh, I'll be full of the fuzz by then. I'll be fishing and go on, Josh, for fuck's sake, save me. I'm
right.
Digging a hole.
Okay, we'll go for do any of you know anything about Steven Nzonzi and how he's been doing in Spain?
I know he's a cunt at Stoke.
Yeah. Certainly doesn't help.
He's a half-decent player.
Yeah, there was talks of him being in London this week and an opportunity that perhaps we'd look to sign him. Is it something you'd welcome, Danny?
If it shuts Jason up, for fuck's sake, then yes. But then look, he's another French international, isn't he? So Chris is going to be all over it like a tramp on a sandwich. And,
to be fair, he'd be a massive upgrade on Coughlin, wouldn't he?
I'd be a massive upgrade on Coughlin. Listen, what have you got to moan about? Who's your next? Because much like the Arsenal fans, it used to be a Boué and then it would be other players. Who's going to be your boo boy as soon as we get rid of the cock? Then once you've got your cock out, Jace, who are you going to hate?
No. I think Coughlin's not good enough for the squad. I think I don't understand why Ospina's there. I don't understand why we move on Chesney and keep Ospina. That absolutely baffles me.
I think Chesney didn't want to come. I mean, Chesney didn't want to come back because of old windmill bollocks.
Yeah,
mouncing outside the box.
But still, you know, I don't get that decision. Okay, so at the moment, if you upgraded on Cochrane and Ospina, you know, I'd be pretty happy. I really would be pretty happy.
I like him. I mean, Sevilla only paid $7 million for him, but they've got a £21.5 million buyout clause. I mean, what's that? That's nothing. Wenger's probably got that down the back of the sofa. West Antone it wasn't West Antone, it was somebody in the chat box was saying earlier that we need to have two really busy transfer windows. I don't think that's going to happen at all. That's almost impossible. Let's see if I can find who it was.
But it's difficult, isn't it? You know, I saw a couple of Nzonzi a couple of times last season for Sevilla.
Yeah,
and he looked bang decent from his time at Stoke. You know, he can play a disciplined role in midfield. You know his distribution is decent. You know, you know he could add a bit of steel to our midfield. He's a massive upgrade on Cochrane. But defensively he's solid, as far as I remember. So yeah, I think
three, which is what we need. We don't need any more balumpas in midfield.
Yeah, it would be a decent signing for us, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know, would he be the answer? I'm not sure. I don't know who the answer would be. Who does he play for? Juventus. Sevilla? But you know, a lot's going to depend on Sanchez and Ozil. Let's be fair, our transfer policy is going to revolve around those two this January and in the summer,
because we don't want to see a midfield three of Nzonzi, Elneny and the Cock, because you will lose your shit and go back to egg chasing. That's not good.
I'm not going to comment.
No, best not. We'll only get demonetized again.
Yeah. Josh. Where's Josh gone?
Has he been abducted? I'm gonna go and have a look. He's gone. He can't cope. It's your fucking fault.
Where's Josh gone? The captain of the ship has left.
We're sinking.
Okay, right. While we wait for Josh to come back, then Dan, Jeffrey Barker 2 asks, is Nelson the most likely to break into the first team, or is Mr. Conservative closer?
I would say it's going to be... I think they really want to keep Willock on side so he doesn't fuck off like his brother did. But just looking at the... Maitland-Niles, his adaptability to play in any position tonight, he got an 8.1 Opta rating. I think Nelson, Maitland-Niles, Willock, I think they're the main. Any one of those three could possibly do the job. I don't think Nketiah is going to be quite ready just yet. I mean, it's going to be hard for him because he's come on, scored those two goals against Norwich, and everyone's gone, oh, well, he's going to play every game and be top goal scorer at the end of the season. So it's a little bit of a heavy burden for him to carry. But any one of those three. But I'm just really happy with the number of games. I remember at the beginning of the season, they said, what do you want from the season? I said, I want the young players that are doing so well in the under-23s and the under-18s to come through and get some games. And that's exactly what the League Cup run and the Europa League run's done. And I'm really happy with it. Can only be good for everything.
It's been good, hasn't it? It has been good to see him. I think Nketiah's got a chance, to be fair. Look who's back. Oh, guess who's back? The captain's back.
We were sinking. We were bailing out water with old piss bottles.
Sorry, I took the wrong step and I walked off the plank.
Chris Carpenter, take note.
So he's just asked me the question about which one of the young players is going to come through.
Ooh, is this between Maitland-Niles and Nelson, or just in general?
Between Maitland-Niles, Nelson and Willock. I said all three. Ooh.
I think who's got the most chance to come through would be Maitland-Niles if he plays at fullback. I don't think the other two would be able to break through our midfield at the moment. I think it's quite tight in there. Yeah, absolutely. And that will get him into the team. It helped Ox get in early, his versatility. I think it would be the same story with Maitland-Niles. Just hopefully he can nail down a position and kind of stick with it rather than have various different ideas of where he thinks he can play. But yeah, I'd say it'd be him personally for me.
Great question.
Yeah, I will have a look for one.
The Jack Armstrong one I'd love to answer.
Is that the one about who should be the next captain?
No. Above the Nelson question.
I haven't got them because I've lost the chat box as I've come back
All right. Jack Armstrong asked, who would you like to see Wilshire come in for? Ramsey or Xhaka, or does the midfield need wholesale change?
Okay. Well, I assume you're not going to say Ramsey.
No. I'm going to lay this out there. Jack hasn't done enough to earn a place in the first team yet. I know Xhaka's had a tough time, but you know this is what Jack's third 90th minute game. He'd have to play a deeper lying role, and he's played further up the park when he's played. So you know I don't see how he gets the Xhaka spot. Combined with that, is his fitness etc. up to scratch yet? You know people say that Xhaka's not. And not the most mobile, but against Tottenham, he covered over 12K against Tottenham. You know, yes, he's had a couple of poor performances, but, you know, let's be honest, tonight we played the dog and duck. I've said it before, say it again, you know, Bate had a really bad night at the office. They were awful. We were very good. Jack was very good. But there's no way he gets in ahead of Ramsey at the moment. You know, Ramsey's got, look at the assists.
Ramsey's Welsh. Mm.
No.
I love Ramsey. Never will you see me say a bad word about the black.
Look at his contribution in goals.
Seven goals and assists in seven games.
Yeah. More the point, in tackles as well. Look at the ground he covers. Jack can't do that. If you play a three-man midfield, yes, Jack is in with a shot. Jack is in with a shot if you play a three-man midfield. But I don't see him being able to cover Xhaka's position. I just don't see it. And I don't think Wenger sees it at the moment either. That's hence why he's playing him so far up the pitch. So, you know, it's one of those things. He's got to be able to do a job in that setup, or you change the setup of the team to accommodate him.
Josh, have you seen what that little shitbag, the bloke who runs the ABW FIFA thing, has put about you? He's put, when you left, this is why I gave up on the hipsters. No need for that, Steph. You've hurt the boy. He's in his dungeon. He could get out. If he could find a way out of there, he'd come and give you a right telling off.
I would. I know where he lives. Ooh. I'd be there. Well, I can narrow it down. It's somewhere in London. It's only small, that place. I'll get there. I shall grab this question that I quite like from Schwinn Lacker Gunman. Danny, the two players we haven't really spoken about in this game, the two centre-backs, Chambers and Holding, a pairing for the England national team youth ages. How do you think they went on and how they played today?
Well, at half-time, they come out with a deck chair in each hand and they were smoking woodbines for the whole of the second half because they had nothing to do. They were just sitting there talking about the good old days when they used to have to defend against people. Meanwhile, all the batty players were running around them like wasps around cheese. I don't know if there are any wasps listening and you do like cheese, please confirm that. They did really well and it's good. I said during this week's podcast that Holding hasn't really played much this season. Then when I had a look, and he's played like 15 games. I forgot about all the Europa League games that he's played. But you would like to look at those two and think they're both the same age. I think they're 21 or 22 at the moment. They're both the same age. They're both young English central defenders. And that's something we've been crying out for at Arsenal for years, because most of us grew up on having English centre-back pairings. I'm not going to list them because we all know who they were. My favourite two would have been Keown and Adams, probably. I know someone's thinking Sol Campbell, but Judas. So it's lovely to see them. Lovely to see them. That's all I'm going to say.
I thought you were going to say Kalo Torre for a second. Anyway, got a question from Nikki Wilson. I'll go to both of you on this one. Just one word. Next Arsenal captain after Permut Asaka hangs up his boots.
Jackie bloody Wilshere. As he signs a new 5-year deal and doesn't miss a game for 5 years and leads us to back-to-back Intertoto Cups.
Good quality one-word answer there, Danny. Jace?
He's never going to fucking do this in one. Well, it's impossible.
He's on mute, isn't he?
Oh, God.
Mustafi.
Do you think they'd give him the captaincy, considering he was nearly fucked off to Inter Milan in the summer?
You wanted a one-word question, answer. Give you one-word answer.
Say Ramsey. Your heart says Ramsey.
Look. Honestly, I go Mustafi simply because,
he's a shouter.
He's the best communicator. He's the best organizer we've got. Koscielny, he's an introvert. It's not who he is, to be fair. Koscielny lead by example. But, you know, let's be honest. He's 31, got tendonitis. You know, he had a horrible, horrible game against United. Koscielny did. He's played quite well recently, though. He's played really well recently up until that point. But, you know, look at Mustafi's age. Look at his CV with regard to the German team. Yeah, he's just got something about him. I just think if he's going to stay in the squad, he's actually got the persona we need. You know, he's very vocal. He likes to organise. I just see him as the obvious choice. You know, Cech's coming to the end of his career. Ramsey, I don't see it. I just don't see it. I don't see anybody. I don't see any. You look at the role he plays in the team. He's up and down, up and down, up and down. You know, you're very reactive as well as trying to be proactive. You're proactive in attack. You're reactive in defence. Whereas where Mustafi sits, you know, he's got a good view of the game. He can see more about it. I just think he's the obvious choice at this moment in time.
Who would you have, Josh, in one word and no more?
You asked Xhaka. Me to expand. Really?
Well, I'm going Xhaka. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can he be captain and give the ball away at the same time? Or does he have to concentrate on one or the other?
Well, it's all right because the armband's strapped to him. So in theory, he shouldn't be able to lose it.
I wonder if we can get Coquelin and Elneny to wear one and just share it between them and just so they can't bloody wander off like they do.
That'd what, tie it to the bench?
That's shit. Yeah. Or tie it to the team bus and just leave them there.
Yeah. Only one Arsenal holding midfielder can be inside the stadium at any one time.
That's it. We've been going 1 hour and 2 minutes now.
Jackson's okay.
Start getting grumpy.
Wow. Well, let's have a look. Got a couple of questions on Mesut Ozil and the contract rumours. We don't have a resident ITK here, do we? On the show.
Can the spirit of Chris Carpenter come here? He'll know for sure.
Oh, yeah, but is there anybody with tomato sauces?
What is the rumour that he's staying?
So Ozil has apparently signed or is signing a 3-year contract. I've heard it off various
Hope he does.
People. But contract with us, I should clarify, yeah. Not with other teams.
I hope he does.
Yeah.
Do you hear that Messi has signed $100 million pre-contract or contract renewal on $70 million a year?
Is that before or after tax, or does it not matter for Messi?
That doesn't matter.
Hold a bit. By Simon Jordan, chairman of Crystal Palace.
I love Simon Jordan, if that's the real Simon Jordan.
It's the real Simon Jordan, he said before, he's the real Simon Jordan.
Well, you're a damn fine person. I love you on TalkSport.
And he's just popped in the box there, I'm ITK, he's staying. So I think that's it. I think he's signing.
If that is you, Simon, could you please elbow Durham in the face? I mean, I'm a fellow posh fan, and I don't like the way that Simon has changed his accent. I now talk like this, rather than talking like that. I don't like it. The new posh Simon, it irks me.
Pablo Amar's put in the box. Okay. He's going to get 350 MK a week minimum.
What lira?
Who's this? Messi or?
Ozil. Do you honestly, does anybody here think Ozil has been worth 350 grand a week?
No. He shouldn't be on any more than he's already on.
But, you know, it's marketing and stuff. If we're really going to get Adidas in, I would assume they'll be paying a substantial part of that anyway to keep him here as one of their big brand ambassadors.
The fucking Luftwaffe are coming.
Well, that was over the Emirates tonight as well, wasn't it?
It's a really old plane. Oh, dear.
Okay, okay. Get on.
Yeah. Right. If you guys don't actually know any, well, as Nicky Wilson's asked, do any of you know Ian Wright or have any family ties to any other old ex-Arsenal players?
I haven't mentioned it, but he breastfed me from the age of 6 years to 12. And he's Ian, he's doing the washing up. I forgot to tell you all that Ian lives here with me. Yeah, you know him, Jace. Yep. Didn't one fucking famous that you completely forgot to mention?
What a mess. No.
No. Yeah, I have it also on good authority that the reason why the stadium was so empty is because Carl's blocked all the tubes.
I tell you what, then again, right? To all the people out there, Carl is just the greatest guy ever. He's just the greatest guy ever.
But he gets shit every day fighting the chat in the WhatsApp. Fife gives him shit about the train. So what did Steve Lord Hillwood do today? Fucking Polish underground's fucked. It's all your fault, Carl.
Carl has actually on the tannoy, a tube full of Spurs fans. Bing, bing. Mind the gap.
Did he do that?
Yeah. He said that.
Oh, dear. And
right. On that note, I think that's a good time to wrap up.
You want? Go on in. I'll shut up.
Yeah. Thanks, Danny. Thank God you can. right. I think a decent 6-0 win for everybody involved there. We're through to the next round. And the draw is on Monday, if I remember rightly. What day do we pod now, Danny?
Thursdays.
Are you not Bath Day? I just want to clarify that.
I'm going to change it. It's only the first Thursday of every month, so I'll just move it. But the team, do you know the teams that I've got a thing here, the teams that we can possibly get if you're interested?
Yeah, if you want to rifle through them. I know Akshay, if anybody follows him on Twitter, has created a whole spreadsheet that simulates the draw. And I think we ended up with Spartak Moscow.
Does anybody care that much?
I want Celtic. Oh, I'd like Dortmund, because Dortmund are fucked.
We can't get them either.
Can we? Why not?
No, because we're seeded. We can't get anyone that drops in from the Champions League.
Oh, so it's going to be Astana, Partizan Belgrade, Ludogorets, AEK Athens, Lyon, which I don't want, FC Copenhagen, and the rest of them I don't know. Or Nice. Nice are rubbish. They've just sacked their manager, I think. Zenit St. Petersburg must be the other one, because they won tonight. Or Real Sociedad. Yeah, that BBC haven't updated their website. Fuck them.
Yeah.
Good job. Right. With their TV license.
All right,
it's all of those. Thanks for your time this evening, gents. Cheers, pleasure. Jace, for your time.
Pleasure. On Sunday, the radio show is John, you, and Ellis.
I feel sorry for John already, and it's not even begun. So, depending on who we decide will be hosting, we'll either win that game or lose if
fucking
John's
James
hosting.
Is back, isn't he?
Exactly. It's only against Southampton as well. So, Jace, perhaps we'll get Ellis hosting that one just to make sure.
I think you can host that one, pal. You can host that one.
Medical queries at half time. If you have a spot on your bum or you haven't shit in a month, let him know. He'll answer it. He'll come around and check.
Thanks, Danny. On that note, do you want to wrap this thing up now and hit the button?
Okay.
To everybody in the chat box, thank you.
Chat box.
You cheers, rock.
That's a nice thumbs up.
Yeah, Josh likes a thumb at the bum.
Oi.
Right.
Josh, as long as it's not a fist.
Now, Josh has to have the last word. So, Josh, say something wise and I'll end it.
So long as it's not a fist, I'm happy with a thumb up the bum.